God is so good. This is our 38th annual Harvest Festival this year, and we are excited to see each and every one of y'all. How many of you consider yourself patient? A very few in here. Okay. Jennifer, you're for sure patient. All right. That is the truth. You're going to need a lot of patience today, okay? Now, I'm right there along with you. I am probably the least patient person in the building, but here's at the end of the day, when you walk out of here, I pray that you feel that God loves you. That's more important than a prize. It's more important than a game. It's more important than the cotton candy. The most important thing for you is to walk out of here and know that God loves you so much. And he sent his son to die for you, that you didn't have to have a broken up, busted up life. He came that you'd have life and have it in abundance in every single way. I encourage you to get your family into church. If you're not in church on a regular basis, get a good pastor. I'm not the only good pastor in Logan County, but I encourage you to get a good Bible-based church. Well, they will preach to you the Word of God, and they will not sugarcoat it, because that is what the world needs. That is what America needs. Amen. How many of you are proud to be an American? Amen. More than it's a Republican thing or a Democratic thing, I hope that at the end of the day you are an American and that you love God and you love your country. Amen. Well, that's that spiel. I'm going to preach it. Hey, a few weeks ago, we had we celebrated some ladies, and not all of them were here when we celebrated, but we have amongst us some very brave women, and they battled and won their fight over breast cancer. And so if I call your name, I'm going to just ask you to come up. We have here Miss, is Mary Grissom here today, this morning? Not yet. Okay. I've got Miss Angel. Y'all give Angel a round of applause. No, Sherry McDonald. She's in the nursery. Sherry, come here.
Thank you.
Here's what I can tell you about Sherry. Sherry has been, she has different crowns in her crown box. She sure does. Now, that came out of her mouth and not mine. But Sherry is one of those people. I'm going to just be honest with you. Can I be honest with you and you don't get offended? I didn't think I'd ever see Sherry McDonald in church. Sherry, did you ever think you'd see yourself in church?
No, I told you flat out. I wasn't coming.
She told me flat out she was never coming into church, but that she would help volunteer in the food ministry. But Sherry is living proof of a very loving God. And that's what I can tell you. She is that proof. And she is here almost every time the doors are open when she comes to church, and we absolutely love her. And Sherry, I'm very proud of you.
Thank you.
I'm very proud of you. You can go wherever your heart desires to. And Miss Moni. Miss Moni. I was like, where's Moni? I've seen her today. Here you go, Miss Moni. I love you so much. Love you so much. Sunny, you got to go in the nursery, okay, Bubby?
Come on. Let's go for
what?
Hi.
Hi, sweetheart. Will you go in there with your Nana and be good?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
I'm going to go.
I have a class today.
We're going to go play games here in a little bit. Outside. Trust me, thank God. I prayed over this rain. I said, God, Lord, in Jesus' name, please let that rain stop, because I want the children outside. I know. We're going to protect them. They're not going to play in the road, but we're going to have a good time with them outside. The next thing that I'd like to do is October is Pastor Appreciation Month. And I want to thank everybody from the bottom of my heart. Thank you for everything that y'all have done for me. It is just the biggest honor to be your pastor. It really is, and it is not something that I take lightly. It's something that I take with a lot of weight, and it's an honor. It's an honor. You could be in any church in Logan County, but you're here. And so I appreciate that. I love you guys with all of my heart. And at this time, I want to have Dad and my mother up here because Pastor Angelo and Millie, they founded Paris Christian Center in 1987. The church would not be here. Nothing would be here if it were not from them answering the call to come to Arkansas. And so Dad's birthday was Friday, and he is a young 74. And so here is a birthday card and pastor appreciation. And Dad is going to speak for a few minutes.
Thank you. You know, there are many good churches in Logan County. And that's a good thing. That's a healthy society. If this is where you fit in, we want you to know you're welcome here. This is a family church. No matter how big we grow, we'll always be a family church. That means that we're into families. And we want you to know whoever you are, if this is where you feel comfortable, you are more than welcome here. And we just love every one of you. And and I think that's all I have to say. My wife is saying, thank God. Willie, come on up here. Why don't you say something, sweetheart?
Well, God is good, and this morning the first thing we did is during our devotional time is we prayed that everything would go well, everyone would stay unharmed, not get hurt in any way, and everybody would practice kindness. And, you know, that's a practice. Sometimes you get in contact with some contrary people, and you really have to exert that practice. But practice kindness in Jesus' name. Amen.
Welcome, Pastor Kelly, as she comes to the pulpit.
So I'm going to go over just a few things for today. Everybody should have gotten one of these pamphlets. But just a little bit of a rundown on what you can expect. You know, I like to know what I can expect when I go to something. And so I don't know if everybody has read there what to expect part of the bulletin. But today we're going to have either turkey or ham and cheese sandwiches. Now, where's my little Mitzi? Mitzi, guess what? I've got your sandwich in the white refrigerator, and that is just for you. And Missy is, I think, maybe the only person in the church that doesn't like cheese. And I said, that's the only person I'm going to cater to today is Missy. So I've got her sandwich in there. But we're going to have chips and cookies and water and all of those things. And what I would ask you to do is fill up an area first. We're going to start with the back area when we dismiss for lunch. And so fill up that area in the very back. Don't let there be chairs in between you because we have about 100 seats set up. And because of the rain and needing places to put folks for the games and just different things, we did not put over 100 chairs out for the eating, okay? So it's going to be packed. Feel free to take a sandwich and go eat outside. Whatever you feel most comfortable doing, do that. The only thing that I ask is that there is no eating and drinking in the sanctuary. Okay, and then we are going to give our volunteers and everybody, we're going to eat and we're going to all of the things until about 12:30 to 12:45, and then we're going to organize the games outside. They're almost ready to go. We probably need about 10 minutes with that, so if you have volunteered to work a game, then I'll need you to come find me after you get done eating. When the games start, we will also, in here, for the adults that want to, we are going to, for 1 hour, play Bible Bingo. Okay. We've got lots of prizes up here. Sister Millie is going to do the calling for Bible Bingo. Now, if you are a super religious person and you think that churches should not have fun, this won't be the church for you. Because I don't see a problem with playing the bingo. Okay? We are not gambling in here, and we are not anything that's inappropriate in here, but we will play Bible Bingo, and we're going to have a good time doing it. Mom, you'll have your Bible up here, a microphone and a table. And as someone wins, all they have to do to get their prize is read a Bible verse. Okay? So I encourage you to play it. It's lots and lots of fun. And we're going to play the games outside for probably an hour and a half to 2 hours, and then we're going to call it a day. Now, there is literally, there has been 2 pallets of candy. That's a lot of candy. If y'all really love me and you care about my sanity, make sure that your children get all of it. Okay? Because I'm tired of looking at it. I'm tired of dealing with it. And we want it all to go to your house. Okay? All right. So we're going to have a good day. We're going to, I encourage you to read these. We are taking up the pill organizers for our elderly ministry. We have done the elderly ministry for over 30 years. That is where we reach into the community, the residents that live at Paris Health and Rehab, and the elderly that are on our Monday night meal route. They all receive a Christmas box. Inside of that Christmas box is about 25 items. One of the items that will be in there this year are the pill organizers. They sell them for 98 cents at Walmart. You can buy any pill organizers, but we need a few hundred of them, so anybody can help with that, that would be much appreciated. There is no senior citizen meal tomorrow. We will resume that November the 3rd. And there is no church tonight. Other than that, everything's normal. As normal as it could be. How many of you have lived to learn that nothing is normal? Okay, great. Sounds like I'm around a bunch of wise people. Go with me this morning to Psalms chapter 127. I'm going to minister very briefly on a subject that is near and dear to my heart, but I know that it's even more near and dear to God's heart. This message is not to condemn anybody. But it is to convict people if there needs to be convicting. And to teach. Psalm 127 and verse 3. How many of you are parents in here? Let me see your hands. How many of you, you would say, I love my children with all of my heart? Good. Good deal. I'm going to tell you what the Bible says about your children. In Psalms 127, verse 3, it describes your children in this way. Children are a heritage from the Lord. In another translation, it says children are a blessing from God. I want you to know that God handpicked you. And he handpicked your children. And he put y'all in that family dynamic. It did not happen by accident. You didn't just get any old kid. They didn't just get any old parent. God handpicked the family dynamic and he put you together. And he has specific things that he wants you to do with your children. And he has specific thoughts that he has towards kids. And God says that your children are a blessing to the point that he also calls them a heritage. And he says that children are a heritage from the Lord. Offspring, your children, are a reward from God. Now, we've all agreed that we're going to keep this sermon very real. And here's what I can tell you. In your child rearing, you're not going to always feel... Everybody go like this. You're not going to always feel like they're a blessing. Okay? Now, I'm telling you that because sometimes you're going to feel like they're a pain in your rear end. Because they can be two things at the same time. They're always a blessing and sometimes they're a pain. Now, if I've already offended you, give me 20 more minutes, I'll offend you some more. Here's what I can tell you about your children. They're the most precious thing that you have secondary to your salvation. Okay? But they're a blessing. They're a blessing. How many of you have gotten through your child rearing younger years? You've raised your kids. They're at least adults. How many of you know it's never over? Right? You're not done parenting when they get 18. It goes on and on and on. The beat goes on. Yes. It definitely goes on, doesn't it, Daddy? He's probably more stressed now than he was when he was actually raising us and had him at us under his house. Because, you know, there's only so much you can do with your older children, but the most important thing you can do is pray for them, and that's what they need. Your children need your prayers more than they need your silent treatment or your aggravation or anything. Your grown children, they need you to pray for them. They need you to call their name out to God and intercede for them. And I mentioned our feelings about our kids, and sometimes we get frustrated with our children. Parenting is not easy. And here's what I would tell that person if you get wrapped up in your feelings concerning your children. Feelings are not facts. Feelings are not facts. Sometimes we get all up in our feelings and we start feeling sorry for ourselves. But at the end of the day, when it concerns your child, God called that child a blessing and he gave that child to you. Try to always look at them as a blessing. If they're giving you a run for their money, think of them as a blessing. And I'm not telling you that that's easy to do, but I am reading it right out of the Word of God for you. They're a blessing to you. And God handpicked them and specifically gave them to you. Go with me now to Deuteronomy chapter 6. And I love this set of scriptures. We're going to look at verses 1 through 9. Deuteronomy chapter 6. We will begin at verse 1. We'll read 1 through 9. And I think one of the most beautiful sounds a pastor ever hears is the sounds of the pages turning. I encourage you to get into the Word of God. When you get into the Word of God gets into you. Let me explain it one more time. When you get into His Word, the Word of God, because it is living and because it is active, it gets into you. And because it's living and because it's active, that Word goes out. And when there's trouble in your life, those verses that you've put in your heart that specifically are for the trouble that you're going through at that moment, those verses go to the trouble. Amen. Amen. Man shall not live by bread alone, but we live off of every single word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So what that means is we're living off of what God says about us. That's why it's important to get into His Word and know what He says. How many of you get on Facebook? I'm so sick of Facebook, I keep getting on it every day. I hate it, but I love it at the same time. It's a terrible addiction. How many of you have ever seen somebody put something bad or negative concerning you or your family or something on Facebook? How many of you ever had that experience? See, we'll get on Facebook if we think somebody's talking about us or saying something about us, and then we'll go and we'll binge watch Netflix and be depressed. But let me tell you something. You'd do better if you'd get into His Word and you'd know what God says about you, because at the end of the day, nothing that anybody has to say about you really matters. And at the end of the day, what God says about you is all that matters. That's it. Melissa, we could have lots of haters, but at the end of the day, the only person we really need to worry about is, what does God say about me? You could have a million no's, but the moment that God tells you yes, It's a done deal. Okay? So here is some very important instruction. And I have learned that God's word is still relevant to this day. There is nothing that's new under the sun. People say, well, the Bible's outdated. No, it's not. The Bible is the most relevant book on this planet. Deuteronomy chapter 6. We're going to look at verse 1. These are the commands, the decrees, and the laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess. This is Moses. He's explaining something to the people, and he is saying, this is what God told me to tell you. And there are some things that you need to observe, and you need to change the way that you're living, and here's what you need to do. Now, you can live a godly life, or you can live a life without God. But you can't live them both at the same time. So that your children and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. So Moses is telling the people, and he's specifically telling the parents, put a healthy fear of God inside of your children so that their children can honor God. Now, this is not going to earn me brownie points, but I'm going to speak truth. This is our biggest service usually of the year. And here's what I know, James. The one person I don't want to offend is God. And the one person I don't want leaving the church is also God. Okay? What we are doing, and believers are doing it too, and it's wrong, but what society is doing with their children, most of it is not correct. We are letting our children think that, oh, it's okay, everything's okay, nobody can speak correction in your life. If the principal says something mean to you, I'm going to go over there. You know what? There's a time to defend your children, but if that's all you're ever doing, let me explain something to you. Your kid is the problem. I say that because I've lived that. Angel, there was a time with one of my kids where something kept repeatedly happening. And I finally got in the car and I said, Johnny, little Johnny, you are the problem. Now, how many of you have reached that point in childbearing where it is, you understand it is very difficult? I think having kids and raising them is the hardest thing that I've ever had to do. Yeah. Only a few people think that. Y'all need to give me some notes on what y'all are doing because it is very difficult. But unless you put and you teach your children to love God, to have a healthy fear of God, to honor God, you're not doing right by your children. I'm going to say that one more time for the people in the back, the people in the front, and the people in the middle. Amen. Unless you're putting the Lord in their heart and in their life, and it is a daily routine, you're not doing right by your children. I ain't like every other pastor. Most pastors would get you in here and they would tell you everything to tickle your ears. I'll get you in here for 20 minutes and I'm going to speak truth to you because I know that God will do the rest. And when you get home and you think about how mean Pastor Kelly was, I pray to God that conviction begins to put right there in your heart and you understand just what a job that you have as concerning your children. Everything that we do as parents is for our kids. When I work to the point of exhaustion, Angel, it's for my children. And all of it would be for nothing if I didn't put God in their life first. So the Word tells us, so that your children and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live, by keeping all of His decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. I pray that each one of you live out every single day that God has for you on this earth. And I pray that you've put God inside of your children, and that they go out and they live every single day, and that the devil doesn't take them out of this life early. Amen. God will be there for your children when you can't be.
Amen.
God will be there with them when you can't be. There was a few years ago, now I have a teenage son, and I'm going to try my best not to embarrass him because I love Carson. But we all have that kid that's very challenging. I was my parents' challenging child, and I really still am. But when he was, 9 or 10 years old, this child has no fear. He's never had any fear. And he would do things, and it would just horrify me because he has no fear of anything. And one time, Arkansas was having some of its classical crazy weather, and everything was frozen. It was snowing. It was like everything. It was just a disaster. Carson was at Mom and Dad's spending the night. And Dad called me, and I could tell he was very upset. And he said, he was very upset. When you get Italian mafia-looking dude upset, you got your work cut out for you, because he doesn't just get too upset about little silly things. But he was very upset. And he said, Kelly, Carson Paul was just walking on the pond that he thought was frozen, and he said, that could have gone so wrong. He said, I want you to come over here, and I want you to pick him up. Well, then that upset me because I started thinking of all of the things that could have happened. I'm going to say that one more time. I started thinking of all of the things that could have happened. And I said, God, I don't know if I want to choke this kid. Strangling, whipping. But I don't even know what to do because something bad could have really happened. And I was just crying and I was mad at the same time because I was so upset about what could have happened. And God said something to me that day, and I've kept it here inside of my heart. And He said, you know, Kelly, when you couldn't be there with Carson Paul, I was there. I was there. And He brought me back to the day that I stood at the front of the church and I made a vow to God at Carson's baby dedication. And I said, God, in my heart of hearts, I believe that You gave me this child. And God, because I believe that he was from You, and You don't make mistakes, You don't make accidents, and You have no regrets about any person that You put on this planet, God, today, I choose to give him back to You. And I tell you something, God will watch over your kids, and he will be there for them in the moments that you cannot be. And if you've raised your children and you have grown children, you understand there's more times that you can't be with them the older that they get than times that you can be. I'm asking people in here with children that you're still got under your house, I'm asking you to start considering all of your ways concerning your children. Because it's not enough to teach them how to be good people. I'm going to say that again. It is not enough just to teach your child how to be a good person. I didn't get very many amens. I'm going to say it one more time. It is not enough to only just teach your child how to be a good person. At the end of the day, you need to set yourself up for you and your child to both win at life. How do you do that? You give that child back to God and you say, God, this is your child. You teach me what to do with this kid. God, you direct me. Lord, help me to be the person that I need to be for this kid. And a lot of what you need to be for your child is the one that says no. That's the hardest thing to do. How many of you mothers right now, and dads some, but I don't think men deal with this as much, but how many of you mamas sitting out there today and you're still raising your children, how many of you deal with an incredible amount of mom guilt? We feel bad about everything that we do. Let me tell you something. That's a hindrance to you. I deal with it also. But the older I get in the Lord, I understand that that's a hindrance to me. Because sometimes your child's very life could determine you saying no. And you need to be able to do that. I'm going to keep reading. For those of you that's hating the way that this message has turned out, you got about 10 more minutes of it. You can hold on. Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey so that it may go well with you and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, promised you. There are some things in your life and some things in your family that you need to align and parallel with what the Word of God says so that it may go well with you. So that it may go well with you. Does your life, does it reflect what the Word tells you to do? There's a lot of Christians and there's things that we're doing and we're telling God, God will understand. I'm going to do it this way instead of what His Word says. And let me tell you something. God will understand that you were disobedient. Yep. And that's what He'll understand. This isn't a message to condemn you, but it is a message to challenge you. What is it supposed to challenge? For you to be the very best version of you that you can be. God loves you in here today. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength. Love God when you don't understand why He allowed something to happen in your life. Love God when you don't understand why He allowed something to happen in your life. That's, to me, I can't think of a greater way to love God with all of my strength, because there's things that happen in this life that we don't understand why they happen. Love them. Verse 6 is the important thing. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Verse 7. Impress them on your children. Impress them on your children. Your way of living and how you've chosen to live will leave the biggest imprint on your kid. You're going to leave an impression on them. I pray that you're leaving a godly impression on them, because the Word of God tells you to impress upon them His will. Impress upon them His will. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up, when you're around your dinner table, when you're sitting on the couch, when you're driving your children home from school, when you're sitting there, when you're helping them get over a broken heart, somebody was mean to them at school, something happened. Talk about Jesus with them. That's what we just read out of the Word of God. Talk about them when you sit at home. A huge problem that we have in today's society is the parents have stopped talking to their kids. We have stopped talking to our kids. And I'm going to keep it real with you. There's times where I don't talk enough to my kids. And you want to know why? Because sometimes they're moody. How many of you have a moody child? Brother Larry's got his hand up. But for whatever reason, it's not paying off for us to not talk with our kids. Here's another thing we're guilty of. We'll take them out to dinner, and then we'll all get on our phone. The whole family. The whole family's on the phone. And the phone, these little devils, have robbed so many families. And what it's done is it's robbed us of our biggest thing that we have, which is our communication with our babies. Whether I've offended you, whether I've challenged you, whatever the case may be with where you're sitting with this message, what I have done today is preached exactly what God wanted me to. And I'm good with it. Last place for me this morning. We're going to look at Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. And you know what? It's not the last verse, but you can keep the music going, Brother Mike. Just turn it down. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. It tells us what to do. Train a child in the way he should go, and when he is older, he will not depart from it. Train a child. It's not time when you're raising them, it's not time to be their best friend, because let me explain something to you. I will also keep this part real. There was a part of me, while I was growing up, I didn't like mom and dad sometimes. Because they told me no. Because they whipped my butt. Because they gave me boundaries. Because there were consequences to my actions. Because they made me take responsibility. Because they loved me enough to say, I don't care what that one's mom and daddy lets them do. You're my kid. It's not time to be their best friend. It's time to be their parent, and they need you. And they need you to train them. They need you to train them. That's not easy. Because that guilt's going to sink in and you're going to feel guilty about training them. And that's a device that the devil uses. But it says, train a child in the way that they should go. And here is the promise that you're able to stand on when they're grown. And when he's older, he will not depart from it. If you raise your child in a godly manner, according to his word, there is a promise here, and the promise is when they get older, they will not depart from it. Now, let me explain something. They may try to depart from it. They may have a season where they've departed, but at the end of the day, I believe that God's word is true, and I believe that when God promises something, that he always keeps his word. Set yourself up in your life and with your children to stand on that promise. You can't stand on it if you don't live it. You can't stand on it if you won't train them. Now the last place for me, 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 11. I love how I'm preaching this message and then I'm going to sugar them up and then send them home with you and you're going to have a real good time. Parenting these little blessings. Here's Hannah. Hannah wanted a baby. she was grieved in her soul that she couldn't have one. Sometimes the delay is not a denial. It's just it's not time yet. Some of you are believing God for something, and it's not that God's saying no. It's just that He's saying, hold on, it's not time for that yet. That's where Hannah was. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 11. Hannah went in to the temple. She began to pray, and she began to weep. There's things that only God can give you and things that only God can do. And in those moments, it's time to stop talking about those things to everybody else because everybody else can't help you. There's one living God, and it is Jesus Christ. It is the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. There's conversations that we're having with people, and I don't even know why we're having them because they can't do anything for us because the conversation that needs to be had is between us and God. I encourage you to have those conversations with God. Hannah began to have a conversation, and in her conversation, she made a vow. She made a vow. It's a vow that every believing child of God with children that they should make. Every parent that is a Christian, and they say, I'm raising my kid for God. There's something, there's a conversation that has to be had between you and God. Nobody can have that conversation for you. When I remember the day we baby dedicated Carson. I remember Colton too. But I remember just in like the 2 weeks that I had him, I remember being thrilled to come to the front of the church because I realized after this kid was 14 days old, I was going to need all the help I could get. There ain't no hood like motherhood. I can tell you that. And sometimes you wish you was. It's like being in Jurassic Park. But here's Hannah. And in verse 11, and she made a vow, saying, "O Lord Almighty, if you will only look upon your servant's misery and remember me." See, she was miserable because she could not have a child, and that's what she wanted most. When you get to miserable places in your life, talk to God. He's the only one that can help you with misery. "Remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son. Then I will give him to the Lord for all of the days of his life. No razor will ever be used on his head." So what she was saying is, "God, I'm miserable. I want a child and I can't have one. God, I'm asking you to not forget me. God, if you give me a child," and she didn't just ask for a child, she asked for a son. She was very specific in her prayer. She said, "If you'll give me a son, I'll give him back to you. I'll give him back to you." The decision that always has to be made between a parent and God is, will you give your child to God? Will you give them to him? Now, he gave them to you, but the decision rests on you. Now, we are going to have a baby dedication, a child dedication. I know for sure that we're dedicating two children. Dad, I'm going to ask you to come down. We can dedicate as many kids as we need to, but I want to explain something. I want to explain what this decision really means. This is not a glamour choice, okay? Because raising kids for God is difficult. Because you are going to have to tell them no when all the other parents are telling them yes. Some people have dedicated their children already. I get it. I'm not judging people that don't dedicate their kids because, you know what? I have enough problems with myself. I don't need to think about anybody else and what they're doing. But for any person that decides, hey, I want to dedicate my child to God today. Unless you are 100% committed to that and that lifestyle, I would not come up here unless there's 100% commitment. That's what it takes to dedicate your child. Because I'm going to tell you something. Your child deserves to have Christ in their life. A lot of people are doing a lot of things with their kids on days where the children should be in God's house. Am I saying that it's only about taking them to church? No. But what I am saying is when you decide to go and do sports with them every single Sunday, when you decide that, it's more important that they just lay out and God will understand, let me just explain something to you. A lot of the stuff that goes on in church is helping to equip your child. It's not all about church attendance, but it's one thing that you don't need to be leaving out. If you can say in your heart of hearts, God, we make the decision today. We're going to honor you with these kids. And God, in our heart of hearts, we're giving the kid back to you. God, have your will in their life. Lord, have your will in our life. Help us to be the parents that this kid needs. I'm going to ask you to come up here with your children. Whoever that may be, if it's only the two that we've got, I'm good with that. I'm good with whatever you're good with doing. That baby is just precious. He's all in white. Y'all get pictures of this baby. Get pictures of Rhett. Amen. Miranda, I'm so glad to see you up here. You know, this message wasn't to beat you over the head, but it was very much to challenge you. To challenge you. Rocky, out of all the things that I've ever done with my kids, the decision that I feel the best about was giving them to God. Is this all that needs to be up here? Dad, you've done a lot more baby dedications than me. I'm going to give you a microphone, and I'm going to let you finish this. And I'm going to be up here with you.
For those of you that this is your church home and the children that are going to be here that are from this church, these children, they belong to all of us. We all have a responsibility in their life. And Millie, you feel like coming up here with me, hon? Coco, bring your Nana up here. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Thank you. It's wonderful to see you here. How are you doing today? Is this a special moment for you?
It is.
I can see it. I can see it on your face. I can see everybody can see. How are things going? You got your babies. They're as wonderful as the Bible says they are, aren't they?
They are.
What is your name?
Miranda.
And this is?
Miley.
And this is?
Layton.
Oh, they're so beautiful. All these children are beautiful. Now, who are these? I think I met her once. Is this her two children?
Yeah.
She has. And what is her name?
Haley.
Haley. I think we've met before, yeah. Haley. But you're a lot shorter then. And who is this little guy? I think I remember just when you were starting to hand. Yeah, Jameson. Look at all these beautiful children. Amen, man. You're doing good. You being dedicated today? That's good. It's a good thing. I think what Kelly's trying to tell you, they don't have to be babies. They can be whatever age. I mean, just bring them up if you want to. And if this is one thing, what does congregation do? This is a holy moment as you are witnessing one of the great precepts of the church, one of the great spiritual exercises of the church, which is to dedicate children to the Lord. Remember, Joseph and Mary took Jesus to have him dedicated. Now, do any of these parents want to say anything? You want to say anything, Allison?
I just want to say thank you to Parish Christian Center because we have been through everything you can imagine. And without you guys, we wouldn't be here. And you want to say something? You're trying to talk to you? We have a beautiful family, and it's just exactly what you guys preach. You can have anything with God in your life. He can turn everything around. So.
Amen. Amen and amen. Oakley was born last year on my birthday, so we share a birthday. And there's two other people that share a birthday here. One of them is
Autumn,
yes. And who was the other one?
Bernie.
Bernie, how wonderful. You just had a birthday, too? I thought
Let's
there was...
Let's anoint all of these
yes.
folks.
Okay. Kelly, Mom, while she's anointing, say something. Say something to these folks about...
Well, along with this is a commitment on the parents' part. That commitment is that you're going to raise up that child in the way that they should go, and that means following after Jesus Christ. And you have to ask yourself, am I willing to accept that responsibility? Because it sometimes goes beyond what you feel like doing, like going to church on Sunday, making sure they go to Sunday school, doing morning devotionals. It's a responsibility to raise up a child in the house of the Lord.
Parents, as Kelly's finishing up, that are up here, I want you to say with me, pray with me, say, Father in heaven, I believe and declare you gave me these children. I believe, after much thought, I'm giving them back to you. I'm dedicating these children to you, Father. And in the name of Jesus, with your help, I will do the very best that I can do. Jesus' name, amen. Amen and amen. Father, let the blessing come here. Lord, protect these children. Help us, Father. It isn't easy, and it's getting harder, isn't it? It's getting harder to raise children, isn't it? It's getting harder. Be with them. Seal these children as your children, Father, from this day forward. In Jesus' name.